And we're back here on In Focus News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, joined here this hour by Representative Tom Phillips here of Manhattan. Of course, veto session begins tomorrow here in Topeka after the three-week break here for lawmakers. A lot of stuff to get to here in the next few days, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. I was going to share with the listeners a bill that has been passed that I'm very encouraged by. Some of the background on it. Congress in 2018 passed what's called the Family First Prevention Services Act. And locally we call it the Family First Act. But and we've passed legislation to take advantage of the federal funding that will then flow through. And the intent of this is to deal with with families that are under stress and trying to offer preventive services to families before they reach a crisis point and a child is taken out of the family and put into the foster care system. So it's kind of a preventive initiative, and it deals with having resources for family therapy, parenting skills, education, behavioral health treatment. So you know, I know that in the last campaign session, and we in the legislature, and I think the public know that our foster care system is overstretched and not working as well as we would certainly like for it to do. So this is one effort to try to improve the family situation before a crisis hits and a child is taken out of the home. And so I'm cautiously optimistic that Governor Kelly and her administration will identify ways and collaborative relationships at the local level so that if a family is experiencing difficulties at home, then there will be the resources placed at their availability to begin to tackle some of the needs so that we don't disrupt the family life at a point of crisis.
This DCF situation, this is not something that's easily fixed overnight here. This is going to take some time.
I think so. I think so. And it's complicated by the opioid addiction. I was at a meeting yesterday and at lunch with some early childhood education providers and toddler care individuals, and they acknowledge that it is a big issue. And we're still learning on when an infant is born with a parent that's addicted, what are the implications for that infant? And so this could be a long-term issue for our society that we're going to have to grapple with. But they were excited about this because they recognize that a lot of things that I think families of higher social economic standing can have the resources for paying for child care and sending their children to exceptional learning opportunities. And this is going to help these individuals that need those resources to allow them to succeed and becoming effective parents and dealing with some of the challenges that they're facing as a family.
Yeah. Well, and the opioid crisis is not something that's going to go away either here. And it's good to know that lawmakers are aware of that here, and hopefully we'll have more to alleviate that here in the future.
Yeah, these are our most vulnerable children, and I would imagine you've had Mike and Lisa Irwin in, and I always like to put a plug in for their organization, the Teen Foster Camp. They do an amazing job out there, and I've had an opportunity to just learn from the both of them the amazing things that they're able to accomplish in a short period of time with these young teenagers. And a lot of times these are teenagers that are about to age out of the system. And if we're not giving them the life skills to compete in today's society, then it just becomes an additional cost on the overall system and our communities in the years ahead. So I'm a strong believer in funding of education and trying to get to the root causes when they're at infancy. Early childhood development is absolutely critical. We know so much about brain development and architecture that if we can intervene at an early age and help families understand little things, sitting down and reading to a child instead of putting them in front of social media or iPad or television, and those kinds of things have huge impacts on child development, brain architecture. And we've just got to continue to invest and stress the importance of that.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the budget itself here. What are some elements in the budget here, especially regarding higher education?
Yeah, higher education is another one of our government entities that is stretched to the limits. They are really trying to figure out how to operate within a world where less money is flowing from the state of Kansas. And I was on higher education budget, and I tried to really try to get $20 million above their budget, above what the governor's recommendation was. I was only successful in getting $10 million. And let me give some context. If my memory serves me right, the Board of Regents was asking for about $75 million of new dollars to higher education. So even with me trying to get $10 million, we weren't getting nearly as much as they had hoped to receive. The last word I had heard was that the conference committee, the Senate and the House committee that negotiates the budget, has agreed to put, I think, $7.8 million in above what the governor's recommendation was. So it helps, but it doesn't begin to solve all of the challenges that our Board of Regents institutions are trying to grapple with across the state. So we got a little bit, but we're going to have to continue to work on and trying to figure out how to get more money into higher education, because, and I've said this before on the air, if we fail to educate our youth, and this is not only four-year institutions, it's also two-year institutions, we're not going to have the skilled workforce to be competitive going forward as a state, and that's critical. I mean, you talk with any economic development expert, they will usually tell you the number one criteria and the number one issue that businesses are looking for is labor supply. If I relocate my business into your community, will I have a workforce to meet the needs and demands of my business? And I think we recognize going forward, we're going to have a balance between the four-year and the technical trade. I've said it before that not everybody has to go to a four-year degree. There are some tremendous opportunities to gain tremendous skill sets working in the trade skills and have a wonderful life and a great income. And we need to value that as a society. But we also have to recognize we are going to need engineers and computer science and geneticists. And that all requires the higher education. And so as a state, we have to invest in higher education and recognizing that is how we're going to get this economy to grow and prosper for the next generation.
You know, at some point there's going to be a breaking point. College is already really expensive here for a lot of folks, and a lot of families can't afford it. So at some point, the prices will keep going up and people aren't going to be able to go to college.
I know. I have conversations with our local university officials, and they're well aware of that. I mean, and we know that at the State House. That, and you can see a graph. I mean, I know your listeners can't see me, but the funding for the state is going down over the last 20 years, and there's a corresponding increase in private tuition. So, and you're right, it gets to a point where it just gets cost prohibitive for individuals. And so I think we're going to have to try to figure that out, not only in the state, but as a nation. It's an issue across the country.
Yeah, we're about out of time here with Representative Tom Phillips. Just have one quick question here. I know we talked on Friday about a possible constitutional amendment being taken up this week involving the abortion ruling
right
from the Supreme Court. Where is that discussion heading at this point? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. That finally the leadership will determine that. The conversations I've had with individuals is that there may be a desire to not put it on the fall ballot, which is local elections, and waiting until next session coming in and then voting on the constitutional amendment and then placing it on the ballot when all the state legislators are up for reelection. I don't know what the final outcome will be, but my intuition is there will be certainly a push by leadership to consider the constitutional amendment. And my guess is it would probably pass out of both the House and the Senate. And I probably should explain, this is a constitutional amendment, does not require the signature of the governor. It's simply an action of both houses or both bodies of the legislative state house to determine whether there's a constitutional amendment placed on the ballot. So So again, I don't know what the final outcome will be. I don't know. I think it will happen. The question in my mind is the timing. Is it placed on the ballot this fall or next fall?
All right. Next year would be a presidential year for an election here. I could see that being a big election topic. So, all right. Well, Representative Phillips, thank you so much for your time and good luck this week going back to Topeka.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
We'll come back next segment. We'll talk with Brian McNulty from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers about the Tuttle Creek lake levels when we return on News Radio KMAN.